Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
So there's this guy, he needed a job, and he just moved to Florida. And he's in sales. Well, he gets a job at this all-encompassing department store, everything in the world under one roof. Sales manager says, take your first day at work. I'll check in with you at the end of the day. We'll see if you got a job or not. The end of the first day, he comes to him. He says, son, what'd you sell? He said, I had one sale. He said, you had one sale? Our salespeople, they have 20 or 30 sales. How much was your one sale? Kid says, well, it was $100,000. Manager says, okay, now we're talking. Tell me about this one sale. He said, well, I got the guy a small fish hook, and I asked him if he needed a medium one. Then we talked about a large fish hook, and I said, well, if you got three fish hooks, don't you need a fishing rod? So we got him a fishing rod. I asked him where he wanted to go fishing, and he said, off the coast. I said, well, if you're going to be off the coast, don't you need a boat? So we walked down to the boat department. I sold him a twin-engine boat. I asked him, how are you going to get that boat to the coast, sir? You got a car that'll pull it? He said, no, I don't. So I walked him to the automotive department. I sold him a 4x4, and that's how I got a $100,000 sale. Manager says, all that, and the guy came in for a small fish hook? He said, oh, no, sir, he didn't come in for a small fish hook. He came in for a crock pot. You see, his mother-in-law was coming to spend the weekend, and I said, sir, your week is shot. You need to go fishing. There's different kinds of problems, and some of them require fishing, and some of them require a boat. How many of y'all would say, you got a boatload of problems? How many got boatload of problems? Got relationship problems, work problems, money problems, can't sleep problems, waking up at night problems, health problems. We got problems. And sometimes we think, man, why do I have all these problems? Well, you know, even Jesus had problems. Judas betrayed him and Peter denied him. John the Baptist was jealous of him and the Jews wanted to stone him. 5,000 people got hungry and somehow that was his problem. He needed money to pay his taxes and had to look to a fish to make that happen. The sick, the broken, the hurting are the people who came to him. And somehow he had to build a staff team out of those people to change the world. How many of you know Jesus had problems? What I love, amen? I love how clapping you guys are today. Come on, you just do it because you're good at it. I like it. The thing I love about Jesus is he never let problems stop him. And I think that's where we get stuck sometimes, is we get stuck in the problems and we let them stop us right there. But really, the purpose of problems, everybody say the purpose of problems. The purpose of problems is to help us to change. The purpose of problems is to help us to improve. Problems can make us bitter or problems can make us better. It just depends on which one we choose. Yeah. There's this dog sitting on the front porch with this old man every day, and a young guy's walking by. As the young guy's walking by, the dog is always whimpering. So the young man says to the old man, he said, sir, why is your dog always whimpering? He said, because he's sitting on a nail. He said, well, why doesn't the dog move? He said, doesn't hurt bad enough. I'm letting that one sink in a little bit. You're like, hey, that's, oh, it's not so funny. It's kind of true, right? A lot of times we don't move on things because it doesn't hurt bad enough. We stay where we're at. We stay in the situation. We don't do what it takes to change the situation. We just complain about it. Say how awful it is. Sometimes invite God to change it, but we don't really do anything to help God change it. Like, God, bring me more money. P.S. I'm not getting a job. And then we get frustrated with God because he doesn't do it. Or we get stuck in the problem and we kind of invite God in, but we don't necessarily work with him all the way. And then we start to think, God, are you able to do this? Well, I have good news for you. Everybody say, good news.
Amen.
Well, then there's good news. And here's what the good news is. John 16:33. Jesus is talking. The bad part of it is, in this world you will have tribulation, troubles, problems. So So as Christians, our life does not suddenly become rainbows and unicorns. It never rains on my parade because I'm a Christian and it is sunshine everywhere I go. No. That's not the problem, or that's not the promise. Problems are going to come. But here's the promise right after that. Jesus himself says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. No matter what problem comes, no matter what the situation is, no matter what happened to Jesus all the way from he was hungry to crucifixion, Jesus is not a wimp, my friends. He was a carpenter. He was physically strong, emotionally strong. He is spiritually strong. He is the Son of God. He is your brother and he is your gateway to the throne room. Yeah, but I can't relate to Jesus's kind of problems. He didn't have my kind of problems. Oh, really? He didn't. Because I remember one time in Mark 11, it says that Jesus was hungry. How many of y'all hungry? Okay, those of you who aren't, give me 2 seconds. Fried chicken. And your grandma's kettle, little pot, black coal iron skillet with the lumpy mashed potatoes and the white gravy. That corn with the seasoning just right. And then your favorite pecan coconut cream chocolate backberry cobbler pie. Y'all hungry now? I feel you. So Jesus is hungry, like hangry. And he walks up to this fig tree and he goes to pick a fig. The problem with the season that he was picking the fig, it would be like me trying to pick an apple in North Dakota in January. How many of you know that's not the time? That's just not the time. So he goes to pick a fig, and even though it's not the time, he curses the tree. And there's like a whole deep message there about how Jesus expects us to bear fruit even in the lives and the seasons that we don't expect we should be bearing fruit. Like, that's a whole thing. So he goes to bear the fruit, or he goes to pick the fruit, and it's not there. So what does he do? He curses the tree. Curse you and die. Whew, I told you Jesus wasn't a wimp, right? We want to have Jesus on our side because he's going to say that same thing to the enemy when we have a problem with them. He's going to look at the enemy and say, curse you and die. So the first thing Jesus does when he has a problem is he curses the problem. Everybody say, curse it.
Curse.
So not like four-letter word, curse it, y'all, really. No, you speak to that problem and you put it back where it belongs, and it belongs in the pit of hell. It doesn't belong in your life. So then the next thing he does is he goes on about his business. He's spoken to the problem. He expects his word to not return to him void like it says in Isaiah. And as he comes back the next day, the disciples start freaking out. They're like, Jesus, that tree that you cursed. I'm obviously country today. I don't know what that is. Jesus, that tree that you cursed, it is dead. Not like the leaves are wilted dead, like the leaves are gone. They're blown off. It's dried up. It's about to fall over. Double dog, triple dog dead, Jesus. And he's like, yeah, I know it is. And then he comes to these hallmark scriptures, Mark 11, 22 through 26. They are hallmark scriptures of faith. And I want you to mark that. Get your Bible out and mark it up. I want you to paint it yellow, green, purple. Earmark the page and write on it. And if you didn't bring your Bible to church today, we give them out free when you get saved here. Because we want you, I know we put it on the screen, but I want you to bring your Bible, and here's why. A well-marked Bible will save your life. You're going to be like, they talked about this one thing, and it's going to be that dog-eared page, and you're not going to remember where it was, but it's going to be the part that was all marked up in church, and that will teach you to mark it up in your prayer time, and that will allow God to speak to you things, and you'll come back and you'll be like, oh, I remember when God was talking to me about that, and it'll bring you so much closer to God. Well, this is one of these passages that you can't live without. And as he's with the disciples and they're freaking out about the dead tree, he says, Mark 11, 22, he says, guys, have faith. Have faith in God. You see, that's the second point on how we deal with problems. One, we curse the problem. And two, we got to have faith in God that he's handling it. He says, have faith in God. And then Mark 11, 23, he says, for whosoever. Now, I just want to pause on that word and ask you a question. Well, then online, TV, Facebook, Sunset Hills, all y'all. Let me ask you, I want to see your hand in the air if you qualify as a whosoever. Whosoever. So does whosoever include Christians?
Yes.
Does whosoever include sinners?
Yes.
So here's a something that might freak you out. Does whosoever include atheists? It says whosoever. Whosoever means whosoever. It says, so whosoever shall say unto the mountain. So they're speaking to the problem. It's cursing the problem. Mountain, you be removed and you get into the sea. You tell that problem where to go and how to get there without missing any words. And shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That is it, all right there. It's curse the problem, speak to the mountain, tell it remove, tell it where to go, and then have faith in God over that thing. And you know what I love about it? He tells the mountain where to go, and he tells the mountain to go to a place that it will sink into the sea, and nobody will even notice that there was a mountain there in the first place. When you move the mountain, it doesn't hurt anybody else. When you curse the problem, it doesn't hurt anybody else. You can even be speaking over a person enemy that's speaking into your life, and you can curse what they're doing to you without cursing the person, right? And he will help you remove that problem, and it will cast into the sea, not the person, the problem be coming out of the person. Amen. Don't make anybody concrete boots. This is the pirate series. There is no real plank walking happening. But that problem will be put into the sea. But we have to have faith. Everybody say, have faith. And God wants us to have faith not only for our own lives, but he wants us to have enough faith where we can literally deal with other people's boatloads of problems. Because it's not all about us. Jesus did that a lot of times. He would walk right into somebody's boatload of problems and get right in the boat. He did that when he first met Peter. You see, they didn't know each other yet. And Jesus was preaching. And so many people came, they kind of kept backing him up to the water. And so now he's like, oh, they're pushing me into the water and they can't hear me. And he sees Peter and he sees the boat. Now, Peter had a bad day at the office, friends. He'd been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. That means no money for his family. It means no food for his family. He's hungry. He's tired. He just washed his nets and he's ready to lock up for the day. You ever had a bad day at work with hair on it and you didn't even want to talk to your family even? That's where Peter was at. Right about that time, Jesus says, sir, I need to use your boat. He's like, oh, I'm not a boat taxi man. He's like, no. And this is not like a literal translation. It's a Nicole translation. And he says, no, I need to use your boat, and I need to use it for free, and I need to use it right now. And Jesus literally just climbs into his boat. I think I have to take my shoes off so I don't pop this boat. Is it okay if I preach barefoot? So it's the only preacher who did this in town today. That's all right. It only gets weirder. So he gets into the boat with Peter and he starts speaking to the people and he speaks for like 3 hours, like I'm going to do today. Yeah, right. We're hungry, remember? We're hungry. And so, but Peter's like, bro, I'm tired. Jesus finally finishes up and Jesus looks at Peter about that time. He's like, I wanted to go home a long time ago. You took a free boat ride. You kept me here all day. Let's go home. And he says, hey, bro, before you go, I want you to take your nets and put them out on the other side of the boat and go fishing. Peter says, sir, you don't know nothing about fishing. Isn't it funny how we tell God he doesn't know anything about what we're going through or how to fix it? Kind of like when we have financial trouble and God's like, hey, I need you to tithe. And you're like, God, you don't know nothing about my financial situation because you wouldn't ask me to spend any more money. You'd be sending some. That hits close to home, doesn't it? You see, the way God tells us to fix problems doesn't usually make sense in the natural. The way he tells us to fix problems makes sense in the supernatural, which is an area we can't see. 1 Corinthians said, he operates in the unseen. We have to believe in the unseen, not the seen. Walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 5:7. So he operates in the unseen. And so Peter says, sir, you fished during the night, not during the day. We fished all night and the fish aren't biting. And my nets are finally washed and put up. So, wrong answer. And Jesus says, I know you're telling me that of all your problems. You see, he rehearsed the problems. Isn't that what we do? So let's press pause right there and let's go back to Mark 11:23 for a minute. Why not rehearse the problem? Why not tell everybody how bad it is? Oh, you just don't know how bad it is in my marriage. I mean, they're just so mean to me. She's just whack. She needs hormone medication. Guys say this at work, for real. I don't know what to do. And she's like, he just never says he loves me and just treats me like an object. And we're just roommates. Well, there's this words, this little tagline that at Faith Church we put on the end of a statement to see if it's a faith statement or not. And that's the way I want it. She's just whack. She's got hormone problems. She's never going to straighten out. And that's the way I want it. He treats me like an object. He doesn't love me anymore. And we're just roommates. And that's the way I... You start to see a problem with that? Oh, my grandpa died. My uncle died. My grandma died. My mom died. All the same thing. I got it. So I'm probably going to die of it too. And that's the way. I work so hard all day and all night. And I got two jobs. And now I got three jobs. And I never make enough money to pay the bills. And that's the way I want it. You see, instead of cursing the problem, we're cursing the solution. We tell God about the problem. Problem, problem, problem. Peter's telling him, problem, problem, problem. And you can't fix it, God. And Jesus is like, if you will rely on me and listen to what you think doesn't make sense to fix your problems. So Peter finally puts the net off on the other side of the boat in the middle of the day when the fish aren't biting. And he pulls up the single biggest net load of fish that he has ever pulled out of the water in his life. You know, the cool thing about God is he can take what seems like the biggest problems in our life and turn them into the biggest blessings. So there's other things that happen too. We don't always get into other people's boatloads of problems. Sometimes we invite problems into our boat. Is there a couple of pirates and a Jesus around here that could help me out? I'm sure every church in the world has these hanging around. Hey, guys. So what happens in our lives is sometimes, how many of you can admit, you may have possibly invited a problem or two onto the vessel of your life. You see, we get to looking at different things that happen and, hey guys, can I see y'all? Oh, that's good, that's good. So I'm going to need your help. I don't need y'all to necessarily say anything because I don't think they can hear you, but I need you to like shake your head yes or shake your head no, and you're just going to be my no guy, okay? Okay, so, hey, you're kind of cute. You treat women good. You got a job? You're a pirate. Are you sad about this? Are you sad about this?
No.
Well, show them you ain't sad about this. No. You treat women right?
No.
You ever gonna treat women right? You gonna treat me right?
No.
You got a job?
No.
You getting a job?
No.
You gonna stop partying if we get together?
No.
But you're cute and I'm lonely. Get in my boat. Now, guys, your questions would have been like, girl, you gonna act straight? You gonna take care of me? You gonna love me? Am I gonna be the only man in your life? You gonna take care of our kids and love our family? And she's like, no, and I ain't even gonna take my medicine. So this is not a man haters club, okay? This is just making a point. So let's move on to occupation. Oh my gosh, I got this deadbeat boyfriend. He's got 6 kids and we got to feed the kids. He doesn't have anywhere though. They moved in. I need more money. I need more money. I need more money. You just say yes to everything I say. Hey, you got a job available? Tell them, you got a job available, cool. Are you going to make me work overtime you don't tell me about? Are you going to have a benefit package that you cancel on me? Are you going to like yell at me when things don't go right even though it's not my fault? But I need a job. You promised me a salary, right?
Yeah.
But you plan on making it commission only after I get there?
Yes.
You know what? I need the promise of this job. Can you get in my boat? You see, God will reveal things to our hearts, and we'll have this little tiny scratching down in like the pit of our stomach and the back of our consciousness. You ever had one of those? You ever ignored it? You ever wish you'd have listened? That's how we invite pirates onto our boat. And what we start doing is we start having a boat full of anxiety and fear and guilt and bitterness and aggravation and hurt. And there's supposed to be love and there isn't. And then we're like, God, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, can you get in my boat, please? I mean, I can't.
We're good.
I can't make room. Jesus, can you please get in my boat? I can't make room. I can't scoot. I mean, I can't get out of the boat. I just need you to get... Jesus, I'm asking you, please handle my problems. Please handle my... I knew Jesus didn't work. You see, we don't make room for God. And we don't give him an opportunity, truly. And then we blame him for not fixing the problems in our life. And God is in heaven saying, I need you to make room for me in your life. I need you to make room. How do I make room? Make room and an I connect. Grow those relationships, those deep relationships, people who will pray for you, people who will counsel you, people who will love you, people who will lift you up. Growth track, private study time, giving room for him to speak to our heart and give us that direction by peace that he wants to give us so badly. Make room how? Make room by actually being uncomfortable enough like the dog. You see, there's a lady and she's acting like a chicken. So her husband takes her to a psychiatrist and they get the office and she's literally all around the office. The psychiatrist is like, wow, how long has she been like that? Guy says, 2 years. He's like, why did you wait 2 years to bring her to me? He said, we needed the eggs. We needed the eggs. Sometimes we need the eggs so bad. I just need that love. And I mean, I can't quit this job because, I mean, last when I took this job, it wasn't I expected. That's how the next job's going to be. We need the eggs so bad. We sit there like the dog and we whimper on the porch. But we don't make the room to move in our life. Ephesians 4:27, it says, do not leave room, do not make room, do not give place, depending on which translation, for the devil. What is the devil? The devil is anxiety instead of peace. It is fear instead of faith. It is bitterness instead of happiness. And if I'm describing the feelings that you're having in your life right now, I'm telling you there are pirates in your boat, and it's time, friend, that you and I tell these pirates that they need to get out. I'm scared of being alone, and I don't want you to leave me, but I can't be treated this way anymore in my life. I am a godly woman, and you got to go. You and your kids, you're not my problem. They're not my children. You're just going to have to find somebody else to support you because it's not my job. By the way, that pop can ring you gave me, it wasn't even worth 2 cents. Go. Never even married me in the first place, living in my house. And you. You know what? You made promises that you did not keep. I'm going to go and I'm going to believe somebody else is telling me the truth. I've got to go. You're going to have to find somebody else to be your sucker. You get out. I'm going to get a good job. One where somebody treats me like a person. One where somebody doesn't lie to me. One where somebody believes in me and I have opportunity. That done. Can't be talked. No more empty promises. And then we make room. Here's why we have to make room. Because Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way into our life. We have to invite him, but to invite him, we have to make room for him. Everybody say, make room. You know, there's a girl on staff here named Adrienne. She's been on staff 6 years. And about 2 years ago, she came up to me and she said, hey, Mom, she's not my daughter. I'm her spiritual mom. She says, hey, Mom, I need you to pray for me. I'm feeling this stirring in my soul to move to Dallas. And I said, we don't have a church in Dallas. And she said, I know, that's why it's weird. Can you pray with me? I was so proud of her for not just hearing some random voice and deciding it was God. You see, that's what I hear people do a lot of times. They'll come and talk to me in the lobby and say, hey, God told me, and they'll tell me something, and immediately there's this like feeling I'm going to puke in the pit of my stomach. And I just know that is so far from God. That's the devil trying to get pirates in your boat. But we hear a voice, and it sounds like what we want to hear. He told me he loved me, so I put him in my boat. Sweetie, he's lying to you. He just wants your money and wants you to take care of him and his kids. We decide it's God, and we invite him in the boat, but we have to make room. So she asked me to pray, and I did. About 8 weeks later, she said, did you get anything? I said, no. No, I didn't. And she waited. Like 8 more weeks, she checks back in. She said, hey, did you get anything yet? I said, I did, and you're not going to like it. She's like, what do you mean? I said, sweetie, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I cannot get peace in my heart about you moving to Dallas. I would never hold you back for any reason. but I can't get peace in my heart about you going. And she listened. She said, well, if my spiritual mom doesn't have peace, I'm not going. And she listened. But I don't know, it was a few weeks, a month or two later, she helps us with events, and she went to the West Palm Beach campus to help us with an event. And there was this guy on staff down there playing the keyboard named Daniel. They started flirting. Suddenly, Daniel needed a transfer to the St. Louis campus. Daniel transfers up to the St. Louis campus, and Friday, I have a picture. These two just got back from their honeymoon. And the enemy, dissatisfaction, things aren't right, a change is coming, almost caused her to put pirates in her boat and miss the blessing of her husband. She's 32 years old. She was ready for her husband. She thought maybe he was in Dallas, but he was around the corner. You see, the enemy saw her blessing around the corner and tried to keep her from it. So we have to invite Jesus. Jesus, would you please join me? Like a gentleman in my boat. We have to make room for the blessing, and this is my closing story. Here's why. In 2 Kings 4, there's a widow. She loses everything. She gets in big debt, and they want to take her two sons to pay the debt. As they try to take the two sons, make them slaves. Not like work at McDonald's, I work too hard, I feel like a slave. No, like legitimate, they don't feed you, they lock you up, they tie you up, they work you until you die and throw you away, slaves. I can't imagine what would break a mother's heart more. So she goes to the man of God, Elijah, and she said, Elijah, what am I going to do? Well, she went to Elijah, a prophet in the Old Testament, a man of God. You and I live in the New Testament, which is after Jesus died. Jesus made a way. Jesus closed the gap. We can go directly to God, to the throne of grace. Amen? But the answer the prophet gave her, it says, what does this have to do with me? And what do you have in your house? I'm like, ooh, that wasn't very nice. But it was so true. You see, God tells us, hey, I gave you money. I just asked for the tithe. Hey, I gave you time. I just asked for you to spend some of it with me. I gave you legs and a car and opportunity. I want you to spend some of it worshiping with me. I gave you relationship, but you won't connect with other Christian and develop strong Christian relationships. What do you have in your house? I've already given you your miracle. So she says, well, all I got in the house is this little big cruse of oil. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Prophet says, if that's all you've got, that's what God wants. Now you and your sons, you go borrow every vessel from everywhere you can find, whether it's a Tupperware, a coffee can, I don't care if it's a urinal or a pot or a pan. You get that vessel and you get it back to your house. Close the door. So she did that thing. And he said, now you pour out that oil. You pour it. She said, pour out this and into this. He said, pour out the oil and don't stop. So she goes to pour out the oil and the first pot fills up, and the second pot fills up, and the coffee can fills up, and the stew pot fills up, and the pans fill up, and the Tupperwares fill up. She's like, boys, keep bringing me more. And she said, bring me more. And they're like, we don't have any more. And that's when the oil stopped. You see, the blessing will flow as long as we make room. But as soon as we're out of room, the blessing stops. What she should have done, friends, what she should have done is she should have gone and she should have sent her son to one town and her other son to another town and covered that town herself and not gotten the pots from one town. She should have gotten the pots from three towns because God would have continued to bless her as long as she had made more room for the blessing. I want to ask you today, friends, how much room are we making for the blessing in our life? There was enough oil to pay off her debt and get her sons back. And it said, and some to live on. I believe God's perfect. E320, Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. I believe God's plan was not a little to live on. I believe it was enough to sustain them the rest of their life, their children and their children's children. That's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't want to solve our problem. He wants to bless our socks up. And I believe that that is what God wants for you today. Thank you very much, Jesus. We appreciate your help. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've got problems, maybe even a boatload in your life, would you just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? And that is like 95% of everybody. So don't feel alone. I want to pray for you on Facebook, on television, at Weldon Spring Campus, our other campuses, online. I want to pray for you right now. God wants to do something in your life. You're here on purpose. You're here for a reason. This is not an accidental connection. This is God telling you, I want room in your life, and I have a plan to bless you beyond your expectation, but I need you to listen to me and follow what I tell you to do. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we incline our ear to you and we listen to the words that you give us. God, we can see the pirates that have been in our boat eating away at our happiness, our peace, our joy, the things causing the stress, the anxiety, the overwhelmingness. Some of it is pride and self-caused. And other of it, we got into a boatload of problems that weren't ours. But no problem is too big for you. Right now, I just make room. We make room and we start pushing out those things that we should never allow in. We curse the problem, not the solution. And we start saying in faith, I know my God is big enough. I know my God is strong enough. I know my God is resourceful enough. And God in heaven, I ask you to pour out your blessing and pour out your favor and pour out your wisdom and pour out your direction and pour out your redemption and pour out your restoration and pour out your healing and pour out your prosperity. God, we ask you to just pour out onto us as we make room to receive your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.